I'm in the middle of Parakalif Pasuk Gimel. And Nambi's telling us and Orpashis, encouraging them, she's encouraging them not to accompany her to Eretz Yisrael. All the Mepharshim, all as one, agreed that she wasn't pushing them back to Avodah Zarah, Chas V'Shalom. She wasn't encouraging them to go back to Avodah Zarah. It seems to me a machleik is whether she was telling them to be good Gaim and keep Shavu Mitzvah Ben Yinayich, or she was telling them, if you want to be Megayer, then be Megayer on your own and come on your own. Don't join up with me. So the Pasuk says, you're going to wait until any children that I give birth to are going to grow up. You're going to anchor yourself and not get married in the interim. Al Benoisa, don't do this, my daughters. Kimali Ma'id, very bitter to me. Mikem. Mikem is, according to some of our Hashem, it's because of you, due to you. Ki yatza biyad Hashem, the hand of Hashem came out against me. There's a number of Mepharshim on what does it mean that the hand of God came out against me. Yatsubi Yad Hashem, the hand of God. Yeah, why does she describe what happened to her as the hand of God? The Alshuk talks about it, that she had five bad things that happened to her. Her husband died, Machlon died, Killian died, she lost a pregnancy. That's all the things that happened to others. And then she herself, she lost everything. She herself has no source of support.
So it's bitter. She went broke. It's
five things. She's in tzar. That's like a general thing. The loss of a husband is one, the loss of Malcolm is two, the loss of Killian is three, the loss of a pregnancy is four, and then her own personal anguish is five.
How is her own personal anguish different from the loss of all the other things? Isn't that the cause of her anguish?
True, it's one's cause and one's effect. It also counts as one. The loss of her husband is a loss whether it causes her anguish or not.
Right.
These are all, the loss of a child is a loss whether it causes her tzar or not. He's not here anymore. She lost something that she had. She's not here anymore. So these five things, the Alshuk says, those are connected to five fingers, and that's what she was referring to, that the Yad of Hashem, the hand of God, came out against her. Why'd she use the word hand? Because just like a hand has five fingers, so Hashem brought upon her five unfortunate occurrences. The Ben Ishkai is a very interesting remes. I'm sure you'll find this interesting. Is if you break down the segments in the fingers, each finger has three joints. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. That's what I'm working on.
This part.
Yeah, the thumb only has two.
No, it's three.
What about this?
One, two, nope.
Here.
Where's this. The third?
Look.
Yeah, the thumb is an extension of the palm.
Oh, it's like you're showing the palm.
Right.
Palm.
Alright, so you've got 12 joints in the fingers, then you've got the thumb as an extension of the palm. And then you have the wrist.
Three in the palm. The thumb is...
The thumb counts... The Ben Ishkai counts the palm as one. The palm, the wrist, and 12 joints in the fingers. That's the breakdown.
So wrist equals one, palm equals
Hold
one.
On. You have 14? Where did I get four? No, you have 14. You have 3, 6, 9, 12, 14.
13, 14.
No, because the thumb has two. That's how it works. The pinky is three. One, two. The four fingers, you have three joints each.
Okay.
That's 12. The thumb is two is 14.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the palm, and you have the wrist.
It's 15.
16. No, you just the joint.
Oh, it counts.
Right, the palm and the wrist. So it's 16 altogether.
Yeah.
So if you take the name.
Three joints on each finger.
Elimelech, Machlon, and Kilian. The letters in the letters of those three names in the Melech, Machlon, and Kilian are 16 letters. So when she said that the hand of God came against her, so the hand of God refers to the 16 joints in the hand, because for each joint it corresponds to a letter of the ones that she lost. Yad.
Yeah.
Represents 16 joints. Because if you count the letters in Elimelech, Machlon, and Kilian, you have 16 letters. That's it. That's,
what? No, you said that
it was
so when Hashem...
Yeah, Hashem smote her with his hand. Because Hashem killed out people that their names equal 16 letters. You also see the word Vayhi figures prominently. It says Vayhi b'mei shvayt ha-shayftim, Vayhi rav ba'aretz, Vayelech ish. You know, it wasn't the days of the judging of the judges, and it was in the time of the famine. And Vayelech Ish, and there was a man, Elimelech went to Mayav. And each one of those psukim start with the letters Vav and Yud. Vav and Yud is Begematria 16. And it says Vayhi three times in the same context, because she had three tzaras. She lost Elimelech, she lost Machlon, and she lost Kilian. So it says Vayhi three times for the three tzaras that she suffered, and each one of those words starts with Vav and Yud.
Those are both Ben Ishchai?
Those are all Ben Ishchai.
Okay.
Pasuk Gedalet. Vatisana Kerlan Vatifkana, they raised up their voices and they cried, Oid, further. It's the second time they're crying. Vatishak Arpa Lachamaisa, Arpa kissed her mother-in-law. Take note that the pasuk is calling her a mother-in-law.
Same part of that other question.
Yes. Rus davka bai, and Rus klung. Dvekus. Rus klung. You look at the word vatisana is misspelled. There's an aleph missing.
On purpose?
Yes. Normally, it would be spelled Vav Tav Sin Aleph Nun Hey. To lift up. Aleph is part of it. Between the Sin and the Nun, there's usually an aleph. To lift up would have an aleph. Nesia is Nun Sin Yud Aleph Hey. Nesia. And the aleph is not there. Rav Moshe David Vali says, the reason why the aleph is not there is because there was something missing from the cry. Just like there's something missing from the word, the aleph is missing, there's something missing from the cry.
Does it? But Tisana means crying?
To lift up your voice in wail. Yeah, it means to wail. Literally means to lift up, and it means to raise your voice. In this case, it means to raise your voice. And he said this before in a previous pasuk, because Arpa was crying. But the reason why she, you know, the purpose, the reason, the cause of her cries was because she couldn't bear to part from Nami. Nami was such a pleasant person. Nami was such a...
Naim.
Her name was Nami. She was Naim. And Arpa could not bear to part from someone so Naim.
So pleasant. Yankowski.
Exactly. Hopefully we should never have to part from him. Naim. And she turned around and went back. Now, the word Arpa has a meaning to it. The name Arpa has a meaning to it. It means the back of the neck. The Oref. You ever heard the expression, Am Kishe Oref?
Loose bone.
The Lisbon is not in the Orif, it's in the spinal cord.
Oh.
The Orif is the back of the neck. So her name is Arpar because it was, you know, this was her Nisayan in life, to see whether she's going to turn around and go back to Maiv, if she's going to show Nami the back of her neck, and she failed. She didn't embrace Nami.
What was missing from her crying?
Well, she wasn't crying because Nami is pushing her away from Judaism. She wants to be Megayah. She expressed the wish to be Megayah, to convert, and Nami is telling her, don't do it. It's not Kedai. It's not worth it. It's bad for you. Don't do it. So, on the surface, it looked like she was crying because she's not going to be Zeichah to join the Am HaNivcher, the chosen nation. But in truth, that didn't bother her too much. That wasn't her main cry was she was going to miss Nami, and that's why she wanted to be Megayah. It was not necessarily because she wanted to be Dovik. She wanted to cling to Hashem. She just didn't want to miss. She missed her mother-in-law.
She loved
her. She loved her mother-in-law. It was pleasant to be with her mother-in-law. So there's something missing from her crying. Ruth clung. Rav Moshe David Vali tells us a big chiddush in this pasuk. Why, you know, he raises the question. He does, he raises it. He raises the question. Why is it that Arpa turned away and Ruth didn't? And he doesn't answer it in the way you might think. You know, what was the determining factor? And Rav Moshe David Vali said that Ruth got special siyat of Shmaya. She also was going to turn back. She was going to turn back. This is a tremendous chiddush. She was going to turn back together with Arpa. She offered to be Megayah. She ventured forth. That was the wish of her heart. And Nami said no. Nami said no, you go back. Nami's the Pesach Adar. She said no, you go back. And Orpah went back. Why didn't Ruth go back? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Ma'irer. He sent an uplifting spirit, a Ruach of his Iris. He was Ma'irer her. He lifted her up. He lifted up her heart. He raised her up. And he assisted her.
Mm-hmm.
That she shouldn't get turned off. And she should stick to her resolve. She wanted to be Megayah L'Shem Shemayim. She shouldn't get turned off by Nami. Nami's warnings. Nami's urgings. Kadosh Baruch Hu helped Ruth stay with her decision. He's in his office. If you go up one flight, you'll find his office. So it's interesting, you know, like, you think that Ruth just chose to be a Gieris and Arpa rejected it. Ruth had Siyata Deshmaya and Arpa didn't have Siyata Deshmaya. What was it in Ruth? Why did Ruth have the Siyata Deshmaya? Why didn't Hashem give Arpa the special measure of Siyata Deshmaya? But Moshe David Vali said because Ruth or Arpa, you know, from either Rus or Orpah had to come David HaMelech. David HaMelech is Malchus based David. Malchus based David is the unifier of Klal Yisrael and of the whole world.
Wait, so how come Orpah didn't get it?
That's what I'm explaining right now. Unity has to come out of either Rus or Orpah, one of the two, or maybe both. Who knows? Malchus has to come. Malchus is, you know, we say Vayhi Bishur and Malach, Bisastav Rosh Hashem Yachad Shifti Yisrael. Vayhi Bishur and Malach. There was a king in Klal Yisrael. Bisastav Rosh Hashem, all the heads of the nation get together and gather together. Yachad Shifti Yisrael. Yachad Shifti Yisrael is the purpose of Malucha's Yachad Shifti Yisrael, the Rosh Hatevis of Yachad Shifti Yisrael. What's the Rosh Hatevis of Yachad Shifti Yisrael? First letter of Yachashid?
Yud, Shin, Yud.
Who's who?
Yishai.
Right, Yishai.
David Ben Yishai.
Yachas Shifti Yisrael. And Hashem saw that Orpah didn't have that value. She didn't have that value to give birth to descendants that would have that ability of uniting.
What's the three words that make up Yishai?
Yachad Shifte Yisrael. And Ruth did.
What?
Well, unity.
Where is that from? That's from...
Hebron Shur Melech? To Pasuk in Mach.
What does that have to do?
So since Ruth did have this quality, and Orpah didn't...
And what does Yishai have to do?
You see that Yishai is Ruth's grandson.
I understand that.
So you see that Yachad, Shifte Yisrael...
Why don't we just drop that whole thing out of the shot, just say that? I don't understand why...
Yachad, Shifte Yisrael is that the purpose of the king is to bring all the Shvatim Klai Yisrael as one. It's since it spells Yishai's name, you see he had that quality. This is what the Ramesh David Valley sees in the pasuk of Rus Daf Kabai. Rus Daf Kabai, Rus clung to Nami. And Davka also means to be able to stick things together.
Dveikus.
Devek Hazak.
Devek, right.
Atamadvekim.
Atamadvekim. Rus Daf Kabai is that Rus married it, special Siyata Dishmaya, to stick to her choice. I mean, the choice was hers. But she needed Siyata Dishmaya, she needed divine assistance to retain it because of Davka. Because she had Dreikus. Pasuk Tezvav. A timer. And Nami said to Rus, Hinei Shavi Yevimtech, your sister-in-law has returned. Again, she's referring to Orpah as Rus's sister-in-law. That means that they were married to two brothers, which means they're married. You don't call someone a sister-in-law if they were never married.
And also, that means that they must have been Magar, Swins or Magar, you're not really related anywhere
right,
from before. Only
right, they're, if they were Magar and then they got married, they'd be sister-in-law.
But her sister-in-law returned, you said?
Orpah went back.
Oh.
Shavi Vimtik, your sister-in-law went back, Alama to her nation, Velelohel unto her idols. So Nami saw that Orpah turned around and she rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She warned her against this, she didn't want her to go back and be an Eved Avodah Zarah.
Why didn't she just go back and keep Shavuot Mitzvah?
She didn't want to.
It was either all or nothing.
The Medrash says that Orpah had a shocking Yerida when she went.
Thank God.
Nami told Rus, behold your sister-in-law. Oh, Shalom Aleichem, Reb Moshe. Shava Yevimtech El Amma. She went back to her nation, Ve'elohel. And to her gods. So that means that Orpah had a Yerida. Shuvi Acharei Yevimtech, go after your sister-in-law. So on this pasuk, Rav Moshe Alshech says that she told the Shuvi Acharei Yevimtech, and she didn't say El Amo Ve'Elohel. Like she didn't describe Rus's returns in the same terms as she described Orpah's return, because she doesn't want Rus to return the same way. So by Orpah, so she said, right, so that's, you know, that's the diak. He makes a diak in the pasuk. Let's go right there. I don't have a lot on this pasuk.
Okay. Should we offer even that? What's the hill? Was Orpah or Rus?
Figure it out. The Mepharshim bring a raya from this pasuk that there must have been some kind of gerus, because if Orpah's response by putting pushed away is that she's returning back to her gods, that means that before this she must have left her gods. I mean, the very Devin Ezra brings a raya.
That means she must have converted.
What does it mean?
It's a raya that she converted.
No, she's mikar. She can just keep
me. I know. It's a mashmai. It's not a raya brura.
It's like an implication.
It's an indication. It's an indication that she had separated from the Avodah Zarah, and now she returned to the Avodah Zarah, which is an indication of gerus. Bears testimony to gerus. That's Lashon Levin Ezra.
Yeah, testimony.
Pasuk Tezayin. We're going to do Tezayin and Yezayin together, because that's the way it goes. Vatayma Rus. This is Rus's response. Al tifki bi, don't wound me. Tifki means don't wound me. You're wounding me. Don't wound me, la'azvek, to forsake you. Me'acharayich, from following behind you. Ki elasher tilki ilayich, wherever you go, I go. Basher talini alin, wherever you lie down, I'm going to lie down. Amech ami, your nation is my nation. Velo hayich elohayin, your God is my God. Pasuk Yudzayin, Basher tamusi, amus, your death, your manner of death, I choose for myself. Basham make a ver, and there I will be buried. Koyas Hashem li, so Hashem should do for me. Vekoy Yosef, so he should continue to do for me. Ki amavus yavid b'nei v'neich. Death, till death do us part.
Oh, very nice.
Till death do us part. That's a pasuk in Rus. The Targum says the Rus was expressing the desire to convert. That's the Lashon Targum. She's expressing the taiva to convert. So Targum is going with Shitase, the Rus was not Jewish. And she wants to convert. And all these expressions are all expressions, they're all her expressing her wish to convert.
Rabbi?
What?
According to everyone who says that she converted, how can she possibly be trying to send her back if she already converted?
It's a kasha. Let's add that to the list of questions. Okay. If she's Jewish, how do you send her back to Amon Amayev?
To the guy.
And why should she send her back to Amon
Amayev? Well, the Gemara says
she's sending
so
her
she
back
should...
to see if her conversion is sincere.
Right,
that
because
means she didn't convert.
If she really is sincere, she'll go down to Israel on her own.
That's like, if she didn't, right, that's if she didn't convert. But he's saying, let's say she did convert.
No, even if she did convert, let's say she's only going, let's say, just because she's following the leader, so to speak, or whatever. But if, let's say, she leaves and she says, okay, if you're really Jewish, let's see what you're going to do when you're on your own.
Okay, there is merit in what you're saying.
Sure.
Yushkoach. Rav Moshe David Vali says, the Rus' statement begins with Al Tifki Bi, don't wound me. Why did she use that expression? Because the words of Nami's being daika her, she's pushing her away. That was like an open wound. She cut her. Nami, you're slicing me open.
Cut me deep.
You cut me deep. You're turning the knife. This is my life. For me to be Jewish, that's my life. For you to push me away, you're stabbing me. Al tifki bi, don't kill me. Nami, you're killing me. Don't kill me. Asher telchi elech, will you go? I'll go. Nami was telling you, it's not so simple to be a Jew. There's the laws of Shabbos. She told her some of the laws of Shabbos.
This is the Rav Moshe David.
This is Rav Moshe David, until further notice. She taught her the laws of Shabbos. And on Shabbos, you're only allowed to go outside of the city the distance of 2,000 amos.
Tchum.
Tchum Shabbos. So you can't go where you want. Ruth says, I'll go where you go. So she was accepting the laws of Shabbos. Moshe David explains, why did Nami start with the laws of Shabbos, of all laws?
He says two reasons.
One is because Shabbos is Shokol Keneged Kol HaTorah Kula. That Shabbos is one mitzvah that it has a role in Judaism equal to the entire Torah. Some of them embrace the Shabbos, so then he has a relationship with the entire Torah. And one who rejects Shabbos.
Like if you sit one of someone's Jewish or religious, you ask if that's what Shabbos.
Yeah, that's the membership card. That's what determines whether someone is Jewish or not. Shemesh Shabbos, and that's like testimony on the rest of the mitzvahs. Someone that's not Shemesh Shabbos, he doesn't do the other mitzvahs. Even though he might pay some lip service to them, he doesn't do them. And the other thing he says is very, very insightful. Shabbos is called Yom Shekulei Shabbos Amnuchu L'chayei Elamim. Shabbos is Me'ein Elam Haba. We say it in Tzmiris. Me'ein Elam Haba. If someone's attracted to Judaism because of Shabbos, there's something that their soul cries out for Shabbos. You ever had that experience with someone like a Baal Tshuva or even a Ger?
And they love Shabbos
They spent the Shabbos, and after having gone through a Shabbos, they have to become Jewish.
Right.
There's an understanding behind that, because since Shabbos is a taste of Olam Haba, someone that goes through Shabbos got a taste of Olam Haba. Olam Haba is our destination. That's where we plan to be for all eternity. That's the goal of the Jewish people. So if someone's attracted to Shabbos, that means that there's something about the neshama that's attracted to the ultimate purpose of Yiddishkeit. If someone is not attracted to Shabbos, if Shabbos turns them off, I hear Shabbos is very hard, I live with it, you know. I mean, I happen to like Lulav and Esrog. I can put up with Shabbos because I love Lulav and Esrog so much. There's something not Jewish about the person. It's like rejecting Olam Haba, rejecting Gan Eden. And a way of telling whether someone is sincerely has what it takes to be a member of the Jewish nation is you can measure it by the love for Shabbos. And I don't need to add Divrei Mussar for each and every one of us. If someone looks at Shabbos, Chas V'Shalom, it's like a burden waiting to get, even a Shemesh Shabbos, someone that's Shemesh Shabbos, but it's a burden and you're waiting until it's over and it's a relief because now you're finally able to do something, there's something seriously wrong.
What if getting ready is a bit of a burden because it's such a rush?
You heard what I said. You're mixing in technicalities, because it's a pain in the neck to prepare. We're talking about the essence of Shabbos.
There's different points. There's different
Shabbos for my soul.
When you know you have something to do after Shabbos, sometimes you're waiting, but like the other times you enjoy Shabbos, so what?
Right.
Also, you can't really say it's like it depends on the person, because let's say like I like Shabbos in certain places, but in other places I know it's going to be a very boring kind of Shabbos, you know?
Because they don't sing Zmiris and they don't say Divrei Torah, and all they do is, you know, all they do is get into the food and it's boring. You don't like that.
Like if I know I'm going to be in Hanover for Shabbos, it's going to be Gishmak or Shabbos. But like if let's say I'm going to be, you know, in Yeshiva on an out Shabbos, then it's going to be a Shvach or Shabbos. So like I'm not looking forward to it, like sticking around for so long. So does that mean what I have like a Yaakov and Esav in me, or does that mean it just depends on each one where it is?
It's not the Shabbos that you're embracing or rejecting. It's the technicalities.
The atmosphere of Shabbos, so I'm saying it's not so simple to say.
It's not the quintessential Shabbos. I'm talking about someone that doesn't like Shabbos.
Even like in the best situation, you mean?
Someone that doesn't like Shabbos. Shabbos.
But I'm saying it's hard to say because Shabbos could be different in every place.
There are people that their idea of Shabbos is to go to sleep. Because they can't be conscious on Shabbos because they can't stand doing nothing the whole time. To them, eating a Shabbos Suda, to them, singing Zmiras to Hashem, and to them, saying Divrei Torah, and to them, you know, enjoying the special atmosphere of Shabbos is not considered an activity. And they want to make themselves unconscious so that when they wake up, they'll be that much closer to the end of Shabbos. There's something wrong with that. Rus told Nami, Nami told Rus that in our religion, a man is not allowed to be alone with a woman. It's a yichud. And Ruth told Nami, that is the reason why I want to be Megayer. She grew up in Mayav.
Which was the
Mayav is the cradle of Pritzis. I'm rejecting that.
I thought Egypt was the most place of Znus.
Egypt had everything. Egypt had was a collection of everything.
But I thought Egypt had the most Znus.
Because it had Mayav there. It had everything.
Moav was
Moav epitomized Znus, and Egypt epitomized everything.
Wow.
So it also had Znus.
So Egypt was like Amsterdam.
If Egypt had everything. I think Amsterdam is like Egypt.
Right.
Okay, so she told, you know, that's the next part of the pasuk. I said, Talini Alin, I'm going to lie down, will you lie down?
I guess we're
going to
cancel our trip here.
I'm going to lie down, will you lie down? That means I'm going to keep the laws of Yichud. And that's what's attracting me to the Jewish religion in the first place. Nami told Rus, you know, we have more, a lot more than seven mitzvahs. We've got 613 mitzvahs. We've got a lot of mitzvahs. We've got a lot of mitzvahs.
And they're not all...
And even though women aren't obligated in all 613, but if they have male children, then the women are responsible for the 613 mitzvahs of their children. You know, the pasuk says, Shema midi mitzvah avicha, v'al titosh taris yimecha.
Oh, Shmabani.
Tarisi Mecha. What's Tarisi Mecha?
Your mother.
Tarisi Mecha is the mother teaches you Torah.
That's how Igeres Ramban begins.
So she says, Amechami. Your nation is my nation. That means your nation's Torah is my Torah. Amechami. Nami told Rus, you can't have more than one God. Told Rus you can't believe in Christianity.
And Rus liked
according
that.
To oh no.
The Rav Moshe David Avali said she already knew that Rus was rejecting Avodah Zarah. But there's people that they worship Avodah Zarah, that they worship Hashem and, you know, Hashem and. They're Christians.
Right, they're just like according they sort of want to just
wait,
keep
Christians
on worshiping.
Everyone holds it's
hold on, I thought the Ran holds that it's not.
The Ran holds that even Islam is a Avodah Zarah. Taisha says that for Goyim it's not considered a Avodah Zarah, but for Jews it is. Everyone holds that
for Jews anything but Judaism is a Avodah Zarah.
For Jews anything but Judaism is an Avodah Zarah. So he was warning her that you have to let go entirely and totally. You can't respect. You can't say
even
I personally
like
believe in
Hashem.
I personally believe in Hashem, but there are no others. And Rus answered, Elokai Elokai, your God is my God. I have the same belief. There is nothing else.
Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Achad.
Nami told Rus, if you know somebody goes astray and there's certain averis that they do, there's four ways we have to kill them. The Askila, Sreva, Harig, and Harig. And it can't be buried in a regular cemetery either. They don't even have that respect.
Really?
There's a special cemetery for people that are killed by Beis Din. And Ruth said, "Bashet Tamuz Yamuz, the same way you die, I'm going to die. B'sham Ekaver, and I'm going to be buried in that place." She accepts on upon herself the unique ways that people are to be put to death if they run afoul of the law. And then the Bezayin after Misa. Then Moshe David Vali said, and she said, and she welcomes it, because if someone does such a aver of such a magnitude, the Mises Bezdin is not a punishment. It's a kapara. The bezayin of being put in a special cemetery is not a consequence. That's a kapara. Should I want to join such a beautiful religion that if someone murders, or is Mechal Shabbos, or is Eved Avodah Zarah, or heinous crimes, there's still a way out. I'm not afraid of that. Every single argument the Nami was using to dissuade her, she was using as a reason. That goofa, that's what attracts me. That's what I want. So Hashem should do. So Hashem should add, Kamavish Yafid ben Yeh Benecha, because death separates from me and you. So there's two pshatim here. There's a Rav Moshe David Vali and there's a Malbim, and they are polar extremes. What did she mean by till death do us part? It's very interesting. And we don't have the time to go into it, but I want to tell you the two pshatim. Rav Moshe David Vali said that Nami told Rus, you should just know. She told her Gemara, "B'makom shabali tshuva oimdim sham, afila tzaddikim gemurim einam oimdim sham." In Gan Eden, the place where bali tshuva stand there, even tzaddikim gemurim don't stand there. Which means that there's two Gan Eden. There's a Gan Eden for tzaddikim and a Gan Eden for bali tshuva. Rus told Nami, "I'm willing to be megayer, even though I know that we're only going to be alive in this world.
And in the next world, they'll be in separate places.
In the next, yeah. Kiamavis yafi b'niyah b'nayich, that I'm aware that death is going to separate between me and you." Mm-hmm. Because Rus is a balas tshuva, and Nami is not.
But only Jews can do tshuva.
No, a ger is considered a bal tshuva. That's the Rav Moshe David Vali, the Malbim. Says the other way around. Ki amavish yafid beniyah benayich. She was afraid. She said, "You know I'm being megayer? Because if I'm not megayer, I might be with you in this world. You know, Jewish mother-in-law, Gentile daughter-in-law, they'll get along. They could be friends. They could have a relationship. But that's only until death. Because once death comes upon her, so Ruth is going to go to Gan Eden, Nami. Nami will go to Gan Eden because she's Jewish, and Ruth, being a Gentile, will not join her. So she says, she's saying the reason why I want to be Megayer is because I want to join up with the Jewish people and be with you for eternity. So you see that the way it's polar extremes. The Malbim says that she's being Megayer so she won't be separated at death. And Rav Moshe David Vali says she's willing to be Megayer even though they will be separated at death.
Mm.
I mean, you can make it work because they're looking at different aspects of it. The Malbim is saying that they won't be separated at death because even though they might have different Gan Edens, but it's both Jewish Gan Edens.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not a separation.
Who's talking to who when it said...
The death, till death do us part?
Yes.
That's Rus responding to Nami. I want to do one more pasuk. Unless you have a shina? You have a shina? Okay, we'll stop over here. Yes, Dovro.
Yes, Shkaya, Revi.
It's good?